Message is a lesson on love. And I wish I could say I had all of this stuff figured out, but I've got a long ways to go. There's times in your life that you really think about love. Love just kind of becomes that thought there. And you know, Mother's Day is one of those days. I had this, you know, I really was a mama's boy. That's who I was, all right? I claim it, I'm okay with it. I've sought counseling, it's okay. But it just seemed like my mom and I just got along so well. I don't know if it was both of us, you know, have this kind of like sensitive, you know, soft heart, and she kind of knew what I was going through at times or things that I was dealing with. I could just talk to my mom about everything, you know, and even today I can still do that. I can still just give her a call and it feels like I talked to her just recently. You know, nothing changes. It's really just a great relationship. And when it comes to Mother's Day, you know, there's a lot that can be said about this day because some of us deal with sadness a lot at this day. Some ladies aren't able to be mothers, so they feel left out or they feel broken by all of that and it hurts their own hearts. We think about those who, like many of you, have lost your mothers. You think about the sadness that brings or your loved one, and so there's something about offering up a message of hope, a message of think about how much you are blessed and encourage that in your own heart. And so I never want to skip over those kinds of things when I talk about Mother's and Father's Day and the brokenness that can happen around those days and the people that would find moments of sadness at those times, because my heart wants to go there too. And so I want to pray, and then we'll continue and we'll get started, okay? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the ladies here today. We lift them up to you. We are so thankful for what you do and how you call them to minister and how you call them to teach and preach and lead and guide and direct. And we just ask that you would bless them, you would encourage them. We are so thankful for all that they do. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. And so as I think about the relationship there that a son has with his mother, I think of Jessica and Zeke a lot now, because it's so interesting. Ezra, I could soothe Ezra in any moment, every second. If she came to me, she'd be calm. It'd be okay. Everything's great. I can't do that with Zeke. For whatever reason, he needs his mom to do that. And yesterday, Jessica and Ezra left me with Zeke. They traveled over to Greenville. They went and had some good times there, and Jessica's sister graduated college at Greenville University, and so they got to have a good time over there. And about 10 in the morning, I think Zeke was getting pretty tired of me, and so I started showing him pictures of Ezra and Jessica, and boy, that just soothed him so well, and I was like, wow, okay, so I guess my phone can work this way too. And so I don't know what it is sometimes that, what it takes to kind of soothe your own heart, soothe your own soul a little bit, but there's something about that I love. I cherish that, and I think how great that is of an example of how God shows his love. And so I think the lesson on love today is really interesting because it just fits with how God sees all of us. God is a wonderful God who calls all people close to Him. And there's even these wonderful scriptures about this God who draws us in like a mother hen. I love the mother picture of God at sometimes too, because we so often overskip some of that stuff. But there's something grand about thinking about his motherly love, that kindness of welcoming in. And so there's something so great to think about when you think about God in that way. And so, it just brings joy to my own heart. Today, Jesus teaches about love in a way that, I don't know, maybe you read ahead a little bit from last week where we left off, and you were like, I don't know if I really want to go to church today, because this message really is it's a tough one to hear. But Jesus has some things to say about love and what it means to show love to people. And so we're going to open up to Luke chapter 6, and we're going to see what he has to say right here. This is an interesting thing, because this passage, I think, it could be skipped over quite a bit in our lives. We could have this be a passage that we just, I don't know if we, you know, want to bring out our highlighters on it sometimes, some of the things that Jesus says, but they are so important. They're critical to us as walking as sanctified disciples of Jesus. And so if we're going to look more like Jesus, we have to hear some of these things and put them into practice. And so I want us to dive in here. Verse 27 of Luke chapter 6. Verse 27, Luke chapter 6. Let me read it to you. But to you who are listening, I say. I think that's an interesting way in Jesus' Sermon on the Plain here, where he's like, okay, I just got done talking about the blessings and the woes, and he just said all those things, and then he says, but to you who are listening, this is what I say. So maybe some aren't listening at that time, I don't know, but he says this: love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect full repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Whew, right? I read these words and I think, man, there's such deep, profound work that needs to be done in my own heart, in my own life, in my own soul. And so there's something that just resonates with me. You see the commands here from Jesus to those who are listening. He gives these four messages, these four active statements. These are not passive verbs. These do not just work out themselves sometime down the line. These are active. These are actually, you need to be doing these things. The first one he uses is the word agapo. Agape. You know that word? Love. A deeper love than anything that we came to comprehend in our own worlds. There's a few different kinds of love, but agape is that love that you will lay down your life for someone. You would give up everything for them. It is a sacrificial love. And Jesus starts by saying that word, I want you to sacrificially love in a way that you lay down your life for your enemies. Because I'm like, okay, this is not terrible if you say I should love my spouse. I'm great with that. Paul says that later on too, right? Love your spouse. And he uses the same word. But that's a lot easier. Or what about love those who are kind to you? Oh, that'd be easier too. I'd have some struggles at some points, but it'd be a lot easier. But Jesus says, love your enemies. Actively love your enemies. And if I was honest with you, I tend to think about, first off, I used to think about who I hate. Is there anybody that I hate? Because if there is, I got to get rid of that thought, right? And love them. But I think here, this is an interesting thing. This idea isn't necessarily those that you hate, but the people that hate you. So it's interesting, is there anybody on the other side of the coin that hates me? What am I doing to actively love them, to show that I love them, is what Jesus is saying. Because that would be who you would call your enemies. The people who just out there, who just despise you, how do you show love to them? And that's kind of what Jesus is getting at by doing this stuff. Do good to those who hate you, he says. Do good to those who hate you. So those who are out there, what are you doing to actively be good and do what is good for other people who are clearly hating you, who clearly do not like you? Then he uses that word bless. Bless those who curse you. This is, you know this Greek word, eulogeo. This is the word for eulogy. We get eulogy. It means to speak well of. To bless, to speak well of, to use those words that uplift. So how are you blessing those who curse you? How are you actively ensuring that you speak well of those people who are speaking so ill of you? I find this very hard sometimes. He uses the word proseukomai, pray. Pray for them. Intercede for them. Pray for those who mistreat you. Jesus' heart is to say, I want you to pray for those who are mistreating you. And it's not a prayer of what I used to think, oh good, I can pray this prayer. God, just blow them away, blow my enemies out of the water. I can't wait to see that. That's not a prayer that Jesus is talking about here, right? No, Jesus is talking about praying for goodness for them, lifting them up in prayer. Here's where it really struck me one time. Because I got to thinking about a lot of the issues that go on in our own world and what goes on as, you know, like basically thinking about our enemies. And a lot of times when we think our enemies, we got to go out and just wipe them out, you know. And the difficult lesson for me to learn was to think, I need to pray for them. I need to pray that God would change their hearts. I need to lift these people up. And I need to actively be transformed in a way that I can show love to them and I can give to them. I can do good to them. There's this picture. Why would I want to do those things? Why? And this starts out just clearly because Jesus tells us to. Because Jesus says so, right? When he tells them, do these things. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. He's covering quite a bit of bases here, isn't he? He talks about four different things. He uses four different Greek words to describe these active things that we should be doing. And so much of my life, I'm thinking, I can't get any of these right. I struggle with every single one of them. And there's no way I can do this. And then I think Jesus really did do the example of this. He practiced what he preached. When he talks about turning the other cheek, Can you picture the suffering that Jesus went through? Did he want to fight back? Probably so. But he turned to him the other cheek, said, strike this one too. Put a crown of thorns on my head. You know why he did all of that? Because he loved his enemies. He loved those who were supposed to be his enemies. And by doing so, you don't have any enemies. Because you actually love everyone and you do good to other people. And this is the kind of character that you have. And this is the person that you are. And you're transformed and you look like Jesus. And when you're faced with those things, you can hearken back to that moment. Jesus practiced what he preached. Because he loved them. And he loves you with an agape love. So what would it be like? What would it be like if everybody in this room right now, here at Wesley, would say, we're not going to speak poorly of anybody. We're not going to do any harm to anyone. We're actually going to go and do good for people. We're going to show our love. We're going to do whatever it is that you do to show love for people who are out there that just don't love you like that. I could venture a guess to say, if these people right here in this room started to do that, started to walk that way, live that way, that the world would start to change in Anderson, Indiana. And it keeps spreading. The interesting thing is, even the golden rule has been kind of misconstrued in our world a little bit. Because in our ideas, it's always been, don't do anything bad to somebody, right? Don't do what you don't want them to do to you, right? Don't do something bad. Jesus doesn't say that. Jesus goes further than that. Jesus gives the golden rule amped. He doesn't just say, don't do bad things to people who you could do bad things to. He says, do good things to them. So it's not just, righteousness is not just doing the wrong thing. Righteousness is doing the right thing. There's always a step further. It always goes further than just what we say, oh, you shouldn't do that because do unto others what you'd have them do to you. We don't do those things. We don't want to have that done to us. But what he's really saying, do unto others as you'd have them do to you. He's saying, go and do. These are things that you should be doing. You should be doing good. You should be actively pursuing love. You should actively pursue blessing people. You should actively pursue doing good for them. Not just saying, well, I'm not going to do any harm to them. I'm not going to say anything bad. So even if I said, well, okay, so we don't say anything bad. We don't do anything bad. We don't hurt people. We don't do it. It doesn't stop there. Love for your enemies goes another step further and says, what are we going to actively do to show love to people? And when people do that, there's more to go down into, more struggle. It's a lot harder to do that than just to say, well, I'm not going to speak poorly or do bad things to people. Righteousness is a lot harder than just not doing bad things. That's why the picture of Jesus is just perfect. Because he actively showed his love by walking up a hill, carrying a cross, getting nails in his hands and feet, by people who were spitting on him. And he says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He says, I love you that much. Far as the east is from the west, I'm going to remove your sins. I'm going to care for you that deeply. I'm going to show you that much love. So not only just because Jesus commands it, but because it shows whose we are. It shows what name we have on us. And in this text, Jesus says, if you do this, you will be called a child of the Most Holy. What does it mean to be a child of the Most Holy? It means to say that you actively do these things. And even these questions that Jesus asked, I love that. If you love just those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. What if you do good to those who do good to you? What credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. If you lend to those who from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even though sinners lend to people expecting to be paid in full. Love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. That's interesting. He even repeats himself here. You think he's passionate about getting people to love like he loves, getting people to learn to not strike back when you've been struck? It took me a long time to get that. I had to go through a lot of therapy stuff to work on my own anger issues at times. Because, man, if somebody does something bad to me, I'm going to go right back and get you right back. I had that mindset. And I would have told you this is godly to have that mindset. The Pharisees certainly did. The Pharisees said it's okay, it's eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. You repay evil with evil. And Jesus says, you do that, it's an unending evil. So love rather than hate those who despise you. Those who hit you, don't hit them back. Turn to them and let them strike you again. It describes who we are. We're a disciple of Jesus. We don't lash out the same way other people do. We don't have the same attitude as other people do who aren't transformed by the Holy Spirit, who don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling within them. Can you think of a Holy Spirit, a fruit of the Spirit? And all of those fruit of the Spirit, all nine of them, none of them have anything to do with retaliation or revenge. There's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Sometimes we all need to learn some of those, don't we? The fruit of the Spirit. If you are bought by Jesus, if you are willing to live a transformed, sanctified life by the Holy Spirit, there is no room for hatred, there is no room for revenge, there is no room for hate of any kind in your own soul. I think that's what Jesus talks about when he says love. Even those who hate you. It reveals who we are. The next thing it does is it shows us the Father we serve. We get to draw a lot closer to God because we see how He loves. We see how He cares. We see how passionate he is. Do you see what Jesus says? In that second half of verse 35, he says, he, meaning God, is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. So to those who are wicked, those who are outsiders, those who seem to be outsiders, here's Jesus' message to them. You're not outsiders because God loves you. God welcomes you. God is passionate about you. So why is it that Christians have a hard time with this? Why is it that disciples of Jesus, people who are supposed to walk like Christ, be like Christ, struggle so greatly with loving people? Because we're supposed to reflect on who our God is and who our Father is and who our Mother is, this God who loves us and cares for us, that passion, that compassion, that grace. to even those who are the wicked. He lets rain fall on both. He loves both. He cares about both. And he's desiring all to come to repentance and none to perish. So we, the second incarnation of Christ, the body of Christ, as Paul calls us, to the world, the hands and feet of God to people. If we're able to call ourselves that, if we're able to call ourselves the flesh and blood of Christ followers, and we have hate in our hearts, we have anger, resentment, revenge on our minds, we have the desire to say, if you aren't able to pay me, I'm going to come after you. I get what I get back. Maybe I need to hear this lesson for what I think about the Mother's Day gifts this week. I'll let them have my $2.50. This isn't about being a doormat for people, though. This is about being an instrument of love. It's not just saying, well, I'm going to let anybody and everybody walk all over me and give all whatever I need or whatever is going on. I just let it all go. It's about being like my mom. My mom raised us. My parents got divorced in 95. My mom raised us. I was 10 years old. Caring for us. We had to travel around. We had to go live in other places. We had to stay other places. And then we were traveling all over the place and trying to find a place to sleep at times. We luckily had great people around us, my grandparents and my Aunt Tina, and just some good people who invited us in. And my mom, her love for her kids, for her family, to say, I'm gonna do whatever I can for you all. I wouldn't call my mom a doormat at all. But my mom does know the meaning of service and sacrifice. I've witnessed it in my own wife, the mother of my children. The pain that she's had to go through, the things she's had to deal with in her own life, and she raises our kids to love Jesus. She preaches with a heart of compassion for people. That's what I see when I see who Christ is to people. We don't have this all figured out. We're not fully there yet. But we can go. We can love, and we can be transformed to look more and more like Jesus. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you right now, thanking you so much for this opportunity to gather here, to think about your love and your grace and your mercy, your compassion for all of us. We are so thankful. We're so thankful for great examples of love, too, that are in our own hearts and minds. And we praise you and thank you for your goodness. Help us, Father, to walk in the light as you are in the light, to be transformed, to love like you love, to be merciful as you are merciful, to show grace like you've shown us grace. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.